Speaker, Brother Skippy Norman, sermon title, How to Handle Haters. Scripture is 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Scripture reader, Tom Milligan. Presiding at the Lord's table, Charles Hopkins, Jr., and also Nick Cimentero. Closing prayer, Vince Cimentero. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this time you've given us to come together to worship thee in spirit and in truth. May thy blessings, Father, be upon everyone who is here today and upon those who had a desire to be here but were unable. And Father, we are thankful for the church. We're thankful for what it means to each of us. Be with us now, Father, in this service unto thee. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. Our first song will be 480. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary, to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood that told me. Then I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He's on the air, I knew him, and all my love is to him. He finds me to victory, with his darkness, blood. I heard about made the lame to walk again, and taught the blind to see. And then I heard you, Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. I did obey his best covenant and gained the victory. Oh, victory! And bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He finds me to victory. Beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing, and the old redemption's glory. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory! Thank you.
614.
Let's bow in prayer. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've given to us. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you that we're able to gather together this morning as a family to sing praises to your name, to learn from your word, to be able to edify each other, to be able to comfort one another. Father, we thank you for all these blessings. Lord, we also thank you for the elders of this congregation. We thank you that they are here to shepherd us, to guide us. Father, we ask that you give them the wisdom to shepherd us as they should, and that we may give them the respect that they so well deserve. Father, we ask that you watch over Skippy as he's prepared a lesson for us from your word. We ask that we think upon the thoughts he's about to give us, and that we take them into our hearts, we apply them to our lives. Also, Father, we thank you most of all, though, for your Son who came to this earth and died on the cross for us. Father, we could never be worthy of such love. And we know of the sins that we have caused, the grief that we have caused you. Father, we ask that you forgive us of our sins. We ask that you help us to do better next time and that we may be the lights of this world that you so want us to be. That we are able to be that light on the mountaintop that people see from afar off, knowing that we are your children. Father, as we worship you now, we ask that you clear our minds and clear our hearts. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For the Lord's Supper, we'll sing number 330 for the Lord's Supper.
Why did my Savior come to earth and to the humble world? Why did he choose the lowly bird? Because he loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so.
You know, as you look out into this world, you know, you see so much division. People can't get along. So much conflict. People wish the worst on each other. People want to do you harm. People even wish death upon people. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did something that all of us can be united together about, and that is the hope of eternal salvation. As you read in 1 Peter chapter 2, 24 and 25, it tells how he took the burdens of our sins. He was the good shepherd. We were the lost sheep. And he wanted to bring us all into one fold. And you notice that he didn't say, I'm only doing this for particular people. I'm only going to look out for my friends or just my family or people that live here or people that live there. He did that for everyone. So there was no division there. So we clear our minds and just keep that in mind, that we have this opportunity to come together. All of us can come together and reflect upon that sacrifice that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made on our behalf. We have before us the bread, which represents his body, and we have the fruit of the vine, which represents his blood. So at this time, let us give thanks for the bread. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to come together on this first day of the week, Heavenly Father, to come together to be thankful unto you, Heavenly Father, for sending thy only begotten Son, Jesus, to this world, Heavenly Father, for him to open up his heart to each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, to save us from that punishment of sin that we deserve, that we could not have saved ourselves from, Heavenly Father, to become that perfect sacrifice, without spot or blemish. We know that he was a man that was without sin, Heavenly Father, and did not hesitate to give his life for each and every one of us, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we are about to partake of this bread, that we do so in a manner that it be pleasing, and that will honor and glorify thy name. For this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's continue in our thanks for the cup. Our Father God in heaven, our Lord, we so humbly bow before your mighty throne, Father, at this time. This time, Lord, we're thankful of thy Son and our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, Father, for his willingness to go to the cross, Father, the suffering he endured, Lord, the shedding of his blood, Father, and that blood which cleanses us from all unrighteousness, Father. And we're so thankful to Christ Jesus, Lord. We pray at this time, Father, as we partake of this cup which represents his shed blood, Father, that you might help us to clear our hearts and clear our minds, Father. Help us to solely think about Christ Jesus, Father, to recognize the sacrifice that he made for us, Lord. And that in doing so, we might partake of it and commune with Christ in a way that's most pleasing and acceptable unto thee, Father. And we ask these things, Lord, in the name of thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
If anyone has been overlooked during or taking the Lord's Supper, if you raise your hand. Seeing no hands, we have another portion of our worship service, which is giving. And let us keep in mind of the attitude that we should have, you know, as we give back. You know, remember that we are blessed each and every day. You know, just being able to rise from our beds this morning is a blessing. So let us keep that in mind as we prepare to pray forgiveness. Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Heavenly Father, for just the gift of life, this precious life that you give us. All that we see, Heavenly Father, the beautiful things that we can marvel at each and every day, Heavenly Father, for that endless love, always wanting the best for us, Heavenly Father, you know, helping us to navigate all the trials and tribulations that we face throughout this life, Heavenly Father, your continuing comfort, giving us the will to go out and to work, Heavenly Father, to be able to provide for our families, giving us the means of doing so, Heavenly Father. And we just pray that as we prepare to give back, Heavenly Father, that we will do so in a manner that will truly show our thankfulness to you, Heavenly Father, all that you do. And this we ask for in thy Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's mark 867 as the song of invitation this morning. 867 is the song of invitation. And before the last, we'll sing number 808. 808. Let's sing this. That's fantastic.
Come with me and love the Lord, and let our joy be known. Join in the song with me, O Lord. Join in the song with me, O Lord. And us around the throne, and us around the throne.
Where you die, Again, the sermon title to today's lesson will be How to Handle Haters. And the scripture is taken from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 25 through 27. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty and wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord. And Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah. And valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. But some rebels said, How can this man save us? So they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. Brother Norm.
Say good morning. Truly, God has once again blessed us. He has spared our lives just one more time to be able to come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see those who are here this morning and those who have called in on our conference call. We welcome you to our services. And we just pray that the things that we say today will be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, in God's sight. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Most wise, eternal Heavenly Father, God, you've been good to us, better than we've been to ourselves. You woke us up this morning and you started us on our way. Just thank you, Lord, for the traveling grace that you have given us to make it to this place safely. Now, Father, as we're about to go into your word, that we focus upon your word and what it has to say to us in our situations. And Lord, at the conclusion of this message, there'll be things that we've fallen short of. Give us the courage to make the necessary corrections before it's too late. Guide me in your word, the things that I say. Lord, you get all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, as we look at 1 Samuel, chapter 10, and verse 25, I'll be reading from the King James Version. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote into a book, laid it upon it above before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose heart God had touched. Verse 27 is where we get our thought from this morning. But the children of Belial said, "How shall this man save us?" They despised him and bought him no presents, but he held his peace. How to handle haters. When you decide to obey God, when you decide to become a child of God, you pick up haters from your friends and even your own family. And we have to be real this morning. Not everybody will like you. A hater is someone that is jealous, envious, spends all of their time trying to make you look small so they can look tall. When you make your mark, you will always attract some haters. That's why you have to be careful who you share your blessings and your dreams with, because some folk can't handle seeing you blessed. Just ask Joseph, and Joseph will tell you that his brothers hated him. And so in this text, what we find here is that the people wanted a king, because when they looked around, they saw that other nations had a king. There in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse number 5. And they mistakenly thought that the only way to beat the other nations were to be like them. Let me help you. It's dangerous to be like somebody else. If God wanted you to be like somebody else, then he would have given you what he gave them. That's why envy and jealousy does not make sense. Why? Because it limits God. What I'm trying to say is to want what somebody else has is to assume that what they have is the best that God's got. Y'all with me? And so let me wake you up. You can miss something better that God has for you because you are concentrating on what somebody else has. Old folk used to say, be who you is. Because if you is who you ain't, then you ain't who you is. Amen. And so you don't know what people have to go through to get what they have. And the problem that I have with haters is that they see my glory, but they don't know my story. See, they don't know what I have had to go through to get where I am today. Am I talking to somebody this morning? If the grass looked greener on the other side of the fence, you can be sure that the water bill is higher there. Imitations leads to limitations. And so the problem was that they wanted what God wanted, but they wanted it their way. And God intended to have leadership, but not like everybody else. So God decided to give them what they asked for. So when you get to chapter 10, when Saul is chosen and the ceremony is to take place, they cannot find him because he is hiding behind his baggage. Look at verse 21. When he, chapter 10, when he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matra was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. When they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, if the man should yet come thither. Look what the Lord answers. Behold, he hath hid himself among his stuff. So to hide behind your baggage means you have to stoop down and look smaller than you really are. So it gives you an inferiority complex, and it makes others look taller than you. But if you just stand up, you will see that you are equal to everybody else. And so after the benediction, Saul goes home, and he's joined by a band of men, and some of the men whom have a problem with the blessing that he has received, and they refuse to follow him, and they even disrespect him by not bringing him an offering. Now notice this. In the eastern countries, the honor of the royal household are upheld by presents bought at a certain season by officials and men of wealth and from all parts of the kingdom. These men reheld, the Bible said, they despised him and they bought him no presents. But notice how he handles this. He held his peace. You have to learn, when you are criticized, hold your peace. Continue to do what is right. Continue to show kindness to your critics. Don't waste your time and energy defending and explaining yourself to people. You know who you are, and God knows who you are. And so as we look at the text, they feel that he does not have the looks of a king. They feel that he could not handle the job of being king. When all you got is haters, and we all got some haters among us, Some people don't like it that you can come to church, praise God, enter to his gates with thanksgiving, and his court with praise, bless his holy name. Haters don't want to see you happy. They don't want to see you succeed. They don't want to see you get the victory. But this, I discovered in the text, watch this. His haters were not his enemies. Y'all missed it. His haters were not his enemies. His haters were in the group that was supposed to be on his side. It's in the text. We can handle people outside these doors, outside the body of Christ. You can handle it when your haters are your enemies. But how do you handle the haters who you least expect to have your guard up against? Those who suppose to be on your side. And it's sad when Christians have become victims of each other because of gossip and ridicule. And as a result, non-believers avoid some of our congregation because they know they will be landing in the middle of a war zone. So guess what? I might as well just stay where I am. Why do I want to come to a war zone when I'm already dealing with a war zone? What I want to go is to a place that I can find some peace. Place that I can find some love. So how do you handle your haters so that you won't abort the blessings that God has for you? How do you handle your haters so that you don't miss the opportunity that have been scheduled for your life? I want to give you three things. And this lesson is yours. You can handle your haters by being confident in your purpose. By being confident in your purpose. When you have a purpose, you can focus without being distracted. When you have a purpose, you don't get upset when you are not invited out with friends. When you have a purpose, you know who you are and you know whose you are. When you have a purpose, you know where you are going. Purpose does not mean having a job. What do you mean? You can have a job and still be unfulfilled. A purpose is having a clear sense of what God has called you and I to be. Your purpose is not defined by what others think about you. See, that's one of the biggest problems that many times we have. We are too concerned about what other folk think of us. Your purpose is not defined by how others think you can perform and what you do. If I know my purpose, I don't care what you think about me. It's about what God thinks about me. And see, that's what all matters, church, is what God thinks about us. Because people don't have a heaven and a hell to put you in. It's a matter of what God thinks. See, listen, I don't come to church to make friends. Even though I have made many friends in this congregation, in other congregations that I've shared, that's not my purpose. I don't come to church to join cliques. I don't come to church to please you. I know my purpose. You didn't wake me up this morning. You didn't make a way for me when I thought there was no way. You didn't open doors that was closed in my face. God woke me up. God was the one that paid my bill. Jesus died to give me purpose. And he died to give you purpose. I've been through too much to let people keep me from my purpose. You can handle haters. Number one, by being confident in your purpose. Secondly, you can handle them by knowing something about them. Or look at the text. It's right here in the text. Look at verse 27. He says, the children of Belial. Y'all see that? It was a term to describe worthless men. Here, the appointed king is in the company of some worthless, trifling men who are telling him he can't do it. Some worthless, dysfunctional men. Why should I let somebody who can't get it together keep me from having it together? Before you listen to folk, check out their history. Check out their marriage. If they can't get along with their own spouse, how can they tell you how to get along with yours? Listen, if they can't keep a girlfriend or a boyfriend, how can they tell you how to keep a girlfriend or a boyfriend? It's not that they don't know, they don't like you, but they have a history of criticism. They were not Belial, but notice the text. They were children of Belial. They had taken on the behavior of the people that produced them. Let me just help you. Those that are single, I want to help you this morning. If you are single this morning, before you hook up with somebody, you better go to their barbecue. You better go to their family reunion. You better check out their mama. Check out their daddy. Go meet Aunt Sudie, Aunt Sue, their cousin. Because if they are dysfunctional, then there is a bound to show up in them. Amen. You got to check out some folk. And so if you're going to handle your haters, you need to be confident in your purpose by knowing something about them, and then finally, remembering the favor of God. The people wanted a king. They assessed their needs and compared their needs to what they thought Saul's ability was. They looked at his background. They looked at his resume. They saw where he was born, but not where he was from. They saw where he was born in the natural, but not his home in the heavenlies. And so what they missed was that Saul had not asked for the job. He was young. No military experience. Still, but what he had was favor. What is favor? Favor comes from a word that means gratitude bestowed. Favor is the affection of God toward a person that releases a spirit of influence through that person so that other people are affected by that person, are inclined to like and trust and cooperate with that person. That's what favor is. When the favor of God is upon you, those closest to you are often the ones that are most jealous of you. Or if you don't believe me, just walk in the favor of God and watch church folk get jealous. Get a blessing. And people will say, how come you got that? Or how come they get to lead the song? And how come they got that position? It's because of favor. That's what favor is. Understand that favor of God is for a purpose. What is the purpose? You are blessed so that you can be a blessing to others. See, many people feel, because I got the blessing, that I have the favor of God and I'm going to keep it to myself. But they fail to understand that God has a purpose for the favor that he has bestowed upon you. Well, what is that? The reason that you got that house in that neighborhood was because of favor. And the purpose was so that you can be a light in your neighborhood. The reason you got that job was because of favor. And the purpose was that you would be a witness in that place. The reason why you received a healing was because of the favor of God. The purpose was so that you would be a testimony to those that may be able to see what God has done for you and glorify you. How God has brought you through when you know that you should have been dead. But God kept you around just a little while longer to be a testimony, to let them know that God has showed favor to me. He can show favor to you. When we realize that we have been favored, that's when we can truly say, he didn't have to, but he did. He didn't have to bless me, but he did. He didn't have to heal me, but he did. He didn't have to save me, but he did. And when God gives you favor, then you can tell your haters, don't look at me, but look at who's in charge of me. You look at God. You look at his son, Jesus Christ. And instead of hating on me, you need to understand that what I have, I didn't earn it. I can't afford it. And I don't have the education for it. It's all because of God. It's all because of him. So how do you handle haters? Be confident in your purpose. Know who you are. And know whose you are. Secondly, know something about them. And then thirdly, you remember the favor of God. God has been good to us, church. He spared our lives just one more time. You not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you. When you obey God, your family members may turn on you. Your friends may turn on you. But that's all right. You have one now that stick closer than a brother. You have one who said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You have one that said, Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. What you do is do what you know is right. That is to obey God. How do you obey him? You heard the word, believe it to be true. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Repent of your sin, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. Then go down in the water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. When you come out of that water, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Lord adds you to his church. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Stay focused. Stay focused upon him. And one day you'll hear him say, well done. That good and faithful servant. I've been faithful over a few things. Come and I'll make you ruler of many. If you're here this morning, you've not been living as a Christian should. You know it. And God knows it. And that's who you're going to have to answer to one day. Get it right. Don't leave this place unprepared to meet God. Too many people are leaving this world. Some are leaving too soon. Some are just leaving right then, minding their own business. All of a sudden, their life is taken. Don't take life for granted. Don't take God for granted. Just because you are here today doesn't mean you're going to be here the rest of this day. Only God in heaven knows. And God has given you this opportunity to get it right with him before it's too late. Come right now, we're standing and sing the song of invitation.
All those first waited how to believe. All those first waited to receive. 10,000 souls who say, go, Spirit, go thy way. Some for convenient sake are the that is the way.